With the sweep and fury of the resurrection, there's a new world coming. Today and every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs on Negro life, based on the theme of Roy Utley's book, New World A-Coming, produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. Today, we present Owen Dodson's dramatic story of migratory workers and race tensions in American industrial centers. Hotspots USA, starring Frank Wilson.
This is the story of Negro people who migrated from their homes in the South to search for new opportunities in the North and in the West. People who've come to New York and Detroit, Chicago, St. Louis, San Francisco, and Denver to work in the foundries, in the shipyards, in the mills, in the factories, in the mines. Wherever there was a demand for hands and bodies to do skilled work and unskilled work. This is a story of the Hueys and Sallys, the Kepis and Merrills and Mangans. Pick any name you choose, any place in the South. Spread out the map. We're in wayfaring Georgia, where cotton has been king, where the large red tracts of Georgia land have been divided up among landlords and subdivided among sharecroppers. It's harvest time. There's Kepi just in from the plowing, and his father Huey stands beside him. Their little cabin is dark, and the large spaces between the boards are covered with newspaper, and the door is nearly off its hinges.
I'm tired, Pa.
I know, son.
And hungry.
Well, your mother'll be home soon. Well, where is she working today?
Over at the Smithson house. Washing day, you know. Pa, that old horse nearly pulled me over. That old plow Blunhedge.
Well, son, someday we...
While you was away, guess what?
I'm guessing.
A letter came. Old Mr. Remsen came up to the door and just said, here's a letter for you all. Second letter I've got handed to me just like that. Who you reckon it from?
Well, let me see the letter.
Yeah.
From California.
It's from Aunt Roberta, I bet. Open it.
Yeah, it's addressed to your ma.
Oh, ma won't mind. She wish I was in California.
If wishes were twins, you'd be triplets.
That's a good one.
What's so good, Kathy? What you laughing at?
Aunt Roberta.
You got a letter from her. It's postmarked California.
Read it, Ma.
Well, let's have supper first. We'll save the letter for a kind of dessert.
Nothing sweet tonight?
Only you and, well, your Aunt Martha's letter.
What'd you bring for supper?
Well, not much. Those landlords like to eat up everything they sell, you know, just stuffed and gouged. Leave hardly anything for us.
Read the letter now, Ma.
Well, all right. Huey light the lamp.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well celebrate. Kathy, fetch my glasses.
Dave's right here.
Now, Kathy, you can open the letter. Mind you, now, don't tear it.
No, Ma. Wish I could read.
10 years old and no school's here to teach you the alphabet. Lord help us. Here, place it over here. Huey, you help me to read it.
Yeah.
Dear Sally, I take my pen in hand, hoping you are all well. I have not had a word from you, not even a squeak, since I've been in California. It's so much
freer.
Freer, that's right. So much freer living here, Sally. I just voted, and nobody said a thing. And I didn't pay no money, neither. My job is good. I sweep the floors, but if you can run a
machine,
they pay better. It's cold where I live, but I'm hoping to find another place. Tell Huey he could get a job here. And you and Kathy and he could come here to live. I enclose cash. I remain your loving sister, Roberta C. Ferris.
Enclose cash?
Isn't that just like Roberta? Enclose cash. She remember everything real good.
Mama, are we going to California?
Oh, now, there's no call to cry, Sally.
No call to cry?
No.
After scrubbing my knuckles to the bone and so tired and worn out from them Smithsons calling, Sally, come here, and Sally, do this, and Sally, do that. No call to cry. When Cappy will be getting some reading and writing. And when you hear it, when you won't have to plant cotton to reap or weevil. No need to cry. Oh, Roberta, thank you. We're coming.
When are we going, Ma?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow? I reckon we can pack that quick.
Ain't nothing much to pack.
So Sally and Huey and Kepi set out for the West, for California. And when the trains weren't running, they walked. When they got tired, they rested, and then moved on again. Walking long and riding short, they traveled 2,000 miles away, and they found jobs, war jobs. But what they didn't find was a suitable place to live. No matter where they looked, it was decent or clean. It was always the same.
We don't take black folks here.
And sometimes when they came to other houses, they heard...
Rent $70.
For one room?
War times.
But $70 for one room. With cold water and only a potbelly stove and windows looking out on smoke and dirty garbage.
Plenty of people would be glad to get it.
Well... I don't know.
Oh, we better take it, Sally. Yeah. We've been all over, and there just ain't no good place to be had for colored folks. We'd better take it, honey.
And finally, they were crowded into one room, hermetically sealed in a segregated slum. One room where the wind ran in between the cracks, where the cold settled in the walls and in Sally's bones. No longer young and overtired, she became ill.
Remember, Huey, there's a big pot of lima beans boiling on the stove. Eat them good. And you too, Kathy. You hear me, Kathy?
Yes, Mama.
It's cold, and you'll need some good warm beans to stick to your ribs. You know, since we got here, we never thought... Kathy, you'll be good. You hear me?
Yes, Mom.
Don't get lonely, Huey. Huey.
No, Sally.
Promise.
Promise.
Thank you for everything, Roberta. Thank you.
Sally. Sally. Kepi.
Yes, Pa?
Kepi, your ma's dead.
Huey couldn't say in words what he was thinking then, but he felt it. He felt it deep. He and Sally and Kepi had come up north for a better living and found it, but they didn't find a better place to live. It wasn't his fault that Sally was there, cold and apart from them, and entirely gone. Suddenly he became bitter and resentful.
We paid mighty high rents for my Sally to die. The landlord responsible. I won't forget it. I won't forget it. And you, Kepi, don't you ever, ever forget it.
Tension number one. Bad housing for anyone creates bad race relations for all. People need a good place to live. And there were some good places, but they were not for Negroes. Uninhabitable homes in the North are just as bad as broken-down plantation cabins in the South. Is the map still before you? Close your eyes and point. Your finger rests on Jackson, Mississippi. On a road outside the town, a gang's been working, digging, piling soil, blasting, piling rock, grading. The sun is so hot here, it irritates the bone. All week they've been working, long hours, sweating in the sun. Muscles sore, muscles pushing the veins out of the skin. From dawn in the morning to after dark time. Now it's Saturday, and the men line up for their weekly small wages. They look at their money, they look at their sore hands, and they still taste sweat.
Keep moving! Keep moving! Winkles?
Here, Captain.
Make your X here.
I can sign my name.
Make your X!
I'll sign, Captain.
I'll be roasted. Next, mister. Mister who?
My name's mister.
Well, Mr. Who?
Yes, mister. My mother named me mister when I was born.
Well, I'll be roasted. Make your X. Next, Mangan. Make your X.
Let me count my money first. Last week, I was shortchanged.
We don't make mistakes.
Made one last week.
You're a bad boy, huh?
I needs all my money, Captain. I needs every cent.
Shut your mouth.
I works too hard to be cheated.
Listen, you're a good worker, and I wouldn't want to fire you, but we don't make mistakes, you hear? You hear me?
Yes, Captain.
That's better. Make your X. Move, make your X.
William!
When they knocked off and were by themselves in the bunkhouse late that night, Mangan made his choice.
Where are you going, Mangan?
Up north. I'm tired of this mess.
What are we going to tell Captain?
Take my hammer, mister, and take it to him.
What I'm going to say?
I'm not going to work for him no more. Say, me and my guitar's gone away from here. Forever.
So Mangan left his hammer for a protest and took his guitar and his songs to Chicago. With the little money he had, he hired a room and went to look for a job. He works now as a janitor in a lens grinding factory in Chicago. The faster he learns, the sooner he'll be upgraded, and he's happy about that. The only thing is that he felt so lonely in the big city. So many city sights and strange ways. Elevated trains, subways, tugboats, bridges, and trolleys. Things he'd rarely seen before in his life. And now he was part of them, part of the factory.
Okay, knock off, everybody!
Phew!
Sure has been a hard morning. Never seen such a load of stuff make so much mess.
And this is only lunchtime. 5 more hours to go. Aren't you eating?
No, I don't eat much. Saves lunch hour mostly for a little music.
Oh, is that you I heard yesterday playing that guitar and singing?
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, you certainly can play that, Bob.
Sure, thank you. I like folks to enjoy it.
Hey, look, Mangan, I got an idea.
So what's the idea?
What are you doing after work tonight?
Same as I do every night since I come up north. There's much for me to do or places to go. I usually sits in my room and plays my guitar to myself.
Well, look, some of the men in this plant are going to drink a little beer together down at Slocum's Blue Star Beer Parlor. Why don't you come along and bring your guitar?
Well, I don't know.
The party's only for a few fellas here in the factory. You're working here. It's okay.
Well,
come on.
I'd sure welcome a social evening.
Okay, then. See you at 9.
Slocum's Blue Beer
That's
Parlor.
That's right. Blue Beer Parlor. See you tonight at 9. Bring your guitar and don't be late.
Who
Welcome, welcome, Mangy, and welcome to Slocum.
Now, I brought the guitar.
That's a good thing. Say, Frank, want you to meet Mangan. He works here at the plant.
How you doing, Mangan?
Okay, doing fine.
Hey, Gordon, Gordon, come here. You know Mangan?
Oh, sure thing. I see him all day long. Hey, you had any beer yet?
Not yet.
Oh, come over to the bar and have some beer. Hey, listen.
Hey, Jim.
What is it, Skids?
What's he doing here?
He's one of the janitors at the place. He's okay.
Who invited him?
I did.
Get him out. Get him out of this place.
What's that?
I said get him out. And I'm not kidding either. Just because we work with colored folks, do we have to invite them out with us? Now, where I come from,
Take it easy, Skids. You're not where you come from right now.
Hey, wait, you Skids. What are you getting so high for lotting about?
Listen, Skids. We're here to have a good time, see? Mangan's a good boy. Plays a good guitar. What's eating you?
He's colored, ain't he?
Yeah, he's colored. So what?
So I'm leaving.
So don't forget your hat.
All right. Who's coming with me?
Well, all right, stay here and get chummy with that guy. Good night.
Good night.
Tension number two, a social tension caused by certain whites who take for granted that the color of their skin makes them superior. This race friction didn't explode in the Blue Star beer parlor, but it did explode in other hot spots that zigzag across the country. An example? Where? Listen to the next case. The case of Merrill Stanley, a 23-year-old veteran of the United States Army, wounded in action, decorated for bravery, medically discharged from the Army after 2 years of active service overseas. Merrill's always been interested in machinery, technical things. Now he had a job in an auto repair shop back home in Texas. One day, while he was cleaning a carburetor...
Hello there, son.
Can I help you, sir?
I wouldn't be surprised if you could.
Massachusetts license. Hey, you've come a long way.
Oh, I've driven this truck over every kind of landscape this country can offer. Now, you show me a card from any place in the USA. You cover up the print and I'll tell you just where it is.
Gosh, I wish I could travel like that.
Say, tell me, son. How come you're out of the Army?
I was discharged, wounded in Italy.
Nothing serious.
I can still work.
Good. Check my spark plugs, will you?
Yes, sir.
Yep, I've been all over, but Massachusetts is a pretty swell place.
Okay, it's fixed, sir. Just a wire caught in it.
Ah, good. Fine, son. I thought I'd be here for about an hour. Now I can make it before dark. Oh, say, why don't you get a job somewhere up there, up north? There's lots of chance for a young fellow like you. Plenty of jobs and plenty of money. Opportunity to serve your country, too. You get me?
Where about up north?
Well, Boston and New Haven, New York, Philadelphia. Oh, there's lots of places.
Jobs there?
Sure, plenty of jobs. That's if you want them. And if you can work on machinery, you can get them. Well, good luck.
Thanks. And good luck to you, sir. Good jobs. Somewhere up north. Boston, New Haven, New York, Philadelphia. Yeah, Philadelphia. Always wanted to hear that Liberty Bell ring.
Stanley?
Yes, Mr. Reed?
Good news for you today.
What's that, Mr. Reed?
You've been working for the Philadelphia Transit Company 6 months now, and you've done a pretty good job.
I've tried my best, Mr. Reed.
I know you have. And that's why the company's decided to take you out of the car barn and make you a motorman.
A motorman?
Mm-hmm. We've decided to upgrade you.
I certainly do appreciate it.
I should think you would. It means 20 cents more an hour.
And I certainly can use it, too.
You know how to run one of these trolleys, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I fixed plenty of them.
Well, that's fine. You'll start on the 4 a.m. to noon shift tomorrow.
Hey, Reed.
Hmm? What is it, Al?
Did I hear you say he's going to be a motorman?
That's right.
How come?
New company policy.
Him?
Yeah. Anything wrong?
A couple of men around here aren't going to like it. Aren't going to like it at all.
They've got nothing to say about it.
But you're asking for trouble.
It's not right.
stop right there.
And I say we don't need no colored motorman. We never had it before. And once they start, you'll never be able to stop
them. We won't work with them, that's what.
You got the idea, buddy. We'll call a strike. We'll tie up the whole transportation system of Philadelphia. Not a trolley, not a bus, not a subway or
I don't know.
Not a thing on wheels will move.
Wait a minute, Harris. What's going on here?
We're
going
to strike.
Well, what for?
You know what for, Reed. We don't want any Negroes running any trolleys in this town.
Now, listen, men. Listen to me. You can't strike. You can't do it. Now, listen to me. This is a vital war center. There's hundreds of thousands of people here who depend on transportation to war factories and shipyards. If you strike now, you'll be stopping the flow of war materials to our boys overseas. And that's not right, no matter for what reason.
Stand aside, Reed. We're going out on strike unless the order comes through taking those Negroes off the trolleys as motormen.
But that's impossible. And besides, the union won't back a strike.
Yeah? Well, look, men. Look, there he comes now. Look at him getting into that car. Well, I'll take care of him. Hey! Hey, you! Where do you think you're going?
I'm taking this car to the barn in 5 minutes at 4 a.m.
Get out of that car.
Why? What for? Who are you?
I'll show you who I am with a rubber hose.
You're not scaring me, Annie. I'm staying on my job.
Come on, Harris. Get back to work. There's not going to be any strike.
Oh, no? Get your hands off me, Reed.
You can't do this, Harris. You can't shove people around this way. You don't own the company.
I don't care who owns the company. We'll tie up this city or not. Nobody will move in the city. War workers, nobody. Now get out of that car. Get out of there. Move.
Tension number 3. Opposition by certain whites against upgrading Negroes to skilled jobs. In Philadelphia, it broke out in a violent labor strike. Those who led the strike called themselves Americans, but they could be of no greater service to the enemy even if they were located across the Atlantic Ocean, east of the First Army, instead of in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, the home of the Liberty Bell. What's the answer? How shall these tensions be eased, these hot spots cooled? In Philadelphia, our own government supplied the answer. The United States Army marched in and stated very plainly,
the provocateurs are under arrest. The rest of you must get back on the job immediately. As for Merrill Stanley, he's entitled to hold a position as motorman. These orders will be backed up by the government of the United States.
Migrant armies invaded Chicago, invaded Detroit. They marched on St. Louis, Boston, Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York. Armies of workers marched to assembly lines to turn out engines, spin silk, grind lenses, mold tires, mix chemicals, dig ore from the earth, smelt steel. And these raw materials became parachutes, jeeps, field glasses, tanks, bullets, guns, B-29s. Today, in every large industrial city throughout the nation, where Negroes and whites are beginning to work side by side for the first time, they're learning to understand each other. Through an even greater understanding lies the hope of the elimination of race tensions in the hot spots of the USA.
You've been listening to Hot Spots USA, written by Owen Dodson, starring Frank Wilson in the role of Huey, a migrant worker. Others in the cast included Frank Wilson, Gilbert Mack, Joe Boland, Sanford Becker, Danny Whitaker, Betty Burkhart, George Randall, Charles Perry, and as narrator, Norman Rose. This program was based on the theme of Roy Otley's book, New World A-Coming, and was produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. Music by James Lizzito was conducted by Jerry Sears. Theme music by Duke Ellington. Next week, New World A-Coming has the honor to present the first of two programs dramatizing Howard Fast's great novel of the Reconstruction era, Freedom Road, with an all-star cast of Broadway theater and motion picture performers. If you'd like to attend a broadcast of New World A-Coming, you may obtain tickets by writing your request to Station WMCA, 1657 Broadway, Zone 19, New York City. This is America's leading independent station.